Welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory from Kenneth Copeland Ministries. Download the notes at kcm.org/notes.
Hello, everybody. I'm Kenneth Copeland. This is the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast, and we are extremely excited about you being here today. You know why? Because Jesus is here today, and we're going to have a good time with Him, and we're going to get into His Word. Let's have a word of prayer, and we get right at it. Father, we just bless you and thank you, sir.
Thank you.
We thank you for sending Marilyn Hickey to us today to minister to us and to reveal you. And we praise you for her and for you. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Join me again today in welcoming Marilyn Hickey to this broadcast. Marilyn, Gloria and I bless you and thank you,
bless you
for being here with us today. You've blessed us for so many years. And yesterday is good.
Good.
I want to read this scripture in the book of Hebrews. The Lord just dropped this in my heart this morning about what we're doing. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down on the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him, or be fixed on him, that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your mind. And this is the time of people fainting in their minds.
It is.
And you were talking yesterday, right at the close of the broadcast, how your daddy had fainted in his mind. He had a breakdown, and the devil can after you to try to get you to accept the same thing. But the thing we've been talking about here, we're looking to Jesus, looking at Him in every book of the Bible, seeing Jesus.
Praise God.
This is what we're doing. Open your eyes right now. The name of Jesus, your eyes are blessed.
Yes.
Your ears are blessed. Amen. Hallelujah.
And I love this, Kenneth and Gloria, because when you see Jesus in every book, so many times I think Christians don't read Old Testament. Maybe Psalms, Proverbs, they like that, but skip the prophets. And so they're really profitless. And Jesus is in every book of the prophets. So wonderful. Jesus is all of the Pentateuch, all of the history. And so I'm hooked on the book, and I guess I want everybody else to get hooked on the book too.
Amen.
And I told yesterday about Psalm 51:6, that Thou, God, desires truth in the inward man, and in the hidden man He will make us to know wisdom. Now, truth, what is truth? This is truth.
Yes, it
is. We can hear a lot of intellectual things, but really, this is truth.
That's what Jesus said. He said, Your word is. He didn't say the truth. He said, Your word is truth.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But where is God looking for this Bible? He's looking for truth in your heart. Why? Because you can put it on your coffee table, I love the Bible, but never read it. You can put it under the bed. But when you read the Bible and you see Jesus in every book of the Bible, what are you doing? You're putting truth inside. Then He says He'll take that truth you put in here, He'll make it wisdom up here. So we need to see Jesus in every book
Praise
of the
God.
Bible. We need to put truth in here. Then when the time comes that we need the wisdom of it, it's already in here, then He can bring it up here. Now, I have a real easy way for you to see Jesus in the Old Testament, because I am so, what can I say, focused that every Christian needs to read through the Bible, because the Bible reads you. And that's what we want. We want that personal revelation of Jesus. So I'm going to do a little quick review of Old Testament so that you can see how it breaks down into four segments. Now, I have found if you know where you're going, you know when you get there.
No, that's right.
So I believe, you know, in this that I've made you see Jesus in every book of the Bible. And the Pentateuch is the first part of what we see. So we see that the Pentateuch just means five books. You see him in Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. He's in all of that. And we see the cross, and we saw this yesterday. But also we have the history books. And so we see when we get into Joshua, Judges, Ruth, 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Kings, 1 and 2 Chronicles, Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther, that's history. And so we see a lot of people's lives in it. And when you see who Jesus is in the book of Esther, I'm telling you, you'll want to fly away. It's just amazing how he shows up and reveals his glory in all of these books. But then we see also there are the wisdom books, five of them, and we'll be also looking at those today. And we see that Job is a wisdom book. Job, honestly, Job is one of my favorite books because it reveals Jesus in the greatest way almost of any book of the Bible. Then we see Psalms. Everybody likes Psalms. We see Proverbs. He's absolutely in Proverbs. He's in Ecclesiastes. Oh, he's a great shepherd. And then we see him. He is in the opera of Song of Solomon, and it shows the intimacy that we have with him. But prophets. Hey, I think people don't read the prophets and they're prophetless. And when you see Jesus in Isaiah, it is so powerful. When you see Jesus in Jeremiah and Ezekiel and Daniel, oh, Daniel's one of the greatest revelations of Jesus. You say, well, those are major prophets. What makes them major? They just wrote longer books. Yeah, and then we see the minor prophets just means they wrote shorter books. But some of the sweetest revelation of Jesus is in the prophets. You just can't afford to miss that. So today I want to just start with history. And I'm only going to take one. Of course, you know, I have all of these 66 books, who he is, in a wonderful way for you to see him. But I want to take Ruth. You know, Ruth shows Jesus in, as a kinsman redeemer. If you remember the story, Naomi and her husband left Bethlehem because there was a famine. Bethlehem is the house of bread. Why would you go to Moab? Moab worship an idol called Chushan Rishathaim, I believe. He's called Chemosh. And what is that? That's a dunghill deity. Why would you go there? They have two sons. The two sons marry women who are idolatresses, who worship Chemosh. And then the sons die. The husband dies. And so Naomi decides to go back, and she tells her daughters-in-law goodbye. And Ruth said, I'm going to go where you go. Your God is going to be my God. And so they go back to Bethlehem, and Ruth is a believer. She was an idolatress. She is a Moabitess, but she is now a believer. And so watch the favor of God in this. So Naomi says to her, you need to go and pick grain up for us in a relative's field. His name is Boaz. And so they pray that she will have favor. I love this. And then Boaz notices her and knows who she is, and God gives her favor. And Naomi tells her how to catch a husband. So, you know, I think this is in Ruth 3:3. If you're a single woman today, she said, buy a new dress, take a bath, and get some Estee Lauder. Well, maybe you like a different perfume. And so she tells her, and so she begins to give her advice because this is a kinsman. And if a kinsman has the name, you know, is in the genealogy or lineage of your dead husband, he can, if he has the money, buy the property that belonged to the dead husband. He's the kinsman. He has the money to redeem the property back. But when he marries her, the firstborn child, this is the Levirate law, it's in Old Testament, the firstborn child will have the name of the dead husband. Well, how many men are just waiting to pick up a widow like that? But Boaz takes her on, and she goes to sleep, or he goes to sleep after the threshing time. She lays down at his feet, pulls his robe over on her. Now, this is not an immoral situation at all. He wakes up and says, "Who is it?" She said, "I'm Ruth. And, you know, you're a kinsman to my dead husband. Would you be willing to be my covering?" And Boaz is willing to be her covering. And so he marries her, and they have Obed and Jesse and David. Watch out. She's in the genealogy of Jesus Christ.
Yeah, that's right.
Now, think about this. He's her kinsman. He put up the price. And then if you notice, her name is in the genealogy of Jesus in Matthew 1, but so is Boaz. Oh, Boaz shouldn't have been there. That first child was to go to her dead husband. But God said, forget it. Boaz is such a man of faith. And he puts Boaz's name in there. Now, how is this Jesus? Jesus said, how can I redeem them? I have to come in the flesh. I have to come in the flesh. And I have to pay the price. I have to die for their sin. And so Jesus came in the flesh to be our kinsman. He redeemed us by his blood because he never sinned. He arose from the dead. He understands everything you're going through. I love this. He understands everything I'm going through because he's related. He was tempted in the flesh, and he ever lives to make intercession for me. And he bought me back. He forgave all my sins with his blood, and he gave me a new nature. And so when I look at Jesus and Ruth, I think this is one of the sweetest books in the whole Bible. But when I look at this, I have to say to you, there is a special place here as we go into the history beyond Ruth, when we go into 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Kings, 1 and 2 Chronicles, that we began to see kings of the northern kingdom, kings of the southern kingdom. And it gets confusing. You think, who's who, what's where? And I have wonderful charts that show you the kings of the northern kingdom. You won't get confused. Trust me, put your hand on your heart, say, I trust you, Marilyn. And you will see the kings of the southern kingdom, and you'll say, who's good and bad? Well, on this, I have a G after all the good kings and a B after all the bad kings. But even more, I have the prophets that prophesied to those kings. And you will find all kings have at least two prophets, because in the mouth of two or three witnesses, everything is established. And so that is wonderful. It'll get your, I think sometimes your brain is scrambled when you read 1 and 2 Kings. You think, wow, 1 and 2 Chronicles, who's who, where's where? But this will unscramble that. And also, it will show you how profitable the prophets are. Oh, you will love this. And then, let's just go into the wisdom books real quickly. Let's look at Psalms. Psalms is very unique because actually it is divided like the Pentateuch. So they had Psalms, you know, that they called Genesis Psalms. So like Psalms 1 through 42, they say, well, I want to sing something about the foundation of God, that he's solid, I can depend on him. Well, I'll go to the Genesis Psalms. But then you go from 42 on over into the 70s, and you see these are called Exodus Psalms. You say, well, why would they be divided like that? Because you're going to sing them to help you. And they would read them to help them. And so they would go to Exodus for deliverance, because Jesus delivered them in Exodus from Egypt, set them free, and blessed them with prosperity and a future home. I mean, amazing. So you say, I want to get free of depression today. Well, I'll read one of those Psalms. I'll sing one of those Psalms. I want to get free of a bad habit today. Oh, I'll go to the Exodus Psalms and I'll sing that. I'll pray that. But then when you go to the Numbers Psalms, he rehearses history with you. And so they would say, well, we just need to remember how good God was to us. What did he do in the wilderness for us? And so what does he do to just bless me in my past. And folks, sometimes we need to go back and rehearse our victories. David said, I've killed a lion, I've killed a bear, I'm going to kill you, Goliath. And I believe when you get in the number of Psalms, it helps you to rehearse victories. When things are bad, I just rehearse victories. God did this. He got me into Iran. They didn't kill me. I'm invited back. You know, He put me on Kenneth and Gloria's program with a Jesus encounter, and I go through the victories. And that's very key for us, to look at the victories, and Numbers Psalms tells you that. But you say, well, what about the Leviticus Psalms? Oh, the Leviticus Psalms show the priesthood of Jesus. How do I come into His presence? Who is He? How wonderful He is. You know, He is the great high priest. So I want to know how to behave in His presence. I want to know how to worship Him. You know, I want to know how to have the mind of Christ, because remember, the high priest wore that big headdress and it said, Holy unto the Lord. Oh, I want to have His mind. So each of this breakdown, like the Pentateuch, is showing us Jesus in the most beautiful way. But the Deuteronomy Psalms, I guess I would have to say I like them the best, because their emphasis is the Word. Psalm 119 is in the Deuteronomy Psalms. And so you see, man, the Word works. You know, Deuteronomy was basically three sermons about the Word. And so I can go to the Deuteronomy Psalms. Oh, I can go to Psalm 119. Actually, I memorized it. It took me a year.
But I expect.
Emphasis.
My. I don't know how you did it in a year. Well, grace, that's how you did
it. That was the grace of God, that's
yes,
for sure.
Amen.
And so you see, this is all set up for us so that we can pick out the Psalms we need for the occasion. And New Testament says, speaking to yourself in Psalms and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord.
Yeah.
Because we see Jesus in the Psalms. That is so key for us to see He is in those wisdom books. You know, He's in Proverbs. Oh my. He's in Job. He's in Ecclesiastes as the great shepherd. He's in the Song of Solomon as an opera. And the intimacy we have with Jesus. You know, Kenneth, sometimes I look at these books and I think, wow, I didn't see that until I started looking for Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it gave me a glory to enter into that I had not had. It's wonderful.
I was thinking of two things. One, Boaz, very influential man.
Yes.
Very wealthy man.
Very.
And here is Ruth. Very poor,
yeah.
Undone, and they went through all of the things that you talked about there.
Yeah.
But He gave them His name.
Mm-hmm.
His name.
Yeah.
I mean, you could give someone your property and all of that and hold back your name in case they didn't turn out just right.
Right.
But, you know, but Jesus just gave us everything
Praise
He
God.
Has, gave us His Spirit, gave us His kingdom, and just really just dumped it all on a bunch of people that had zero.
And see, I think the generation blessing is in this.
Oh, yes,
look at
absolutely.
Oh, Jesse, David,
oh, yeah.
All these.
Oh, yeah.
Wonderful. And
yeah.
Shows you in the New Testament what it is. You know, so I look at Ruth. It's such a sweet little book. But I say, you know, you can do the expected. That's what Orpah did. Well, I'm not going to go with you. I like, you know, the food here and I like the idols. But Ruth did the exceptional.
Faithful. She's faithful.
And when you do the exceptional, God does the extraordinary.
Oh, absolutely.
I love this about God. What is the exceptional? It's faith.
Yes.
When you walk out in faith, what happens? You're not like the rest of the world.
No,
you're
that
different.
That separates you from everybody else.
It does.
And when the whole world calls you crazy because you stepped out in faith,
right,
that sets you apart with God.
It does. But watch God do the extraordinary. Did you ever dream you would be reaching the whole world at your age?
No.
Did you?
No.
Would you say that's extraordinary?
Yes.
But did it start when you walked in faith?
Yes.
And so this book shows us the expected. We can do the expected. We can live like the world. You know, I like this about Ruth and Boaz. She didn't sleep with him that night.
Mm-mm, no.
I mean, in the world, you know, anymore, that's exceptional. And people want an exceptional marriage and then sleep around it. If you want the extraordinary, do the faith thing.
My, my, my. Oh, my. Marilyn, it's just wonderful.
Good.
Praise God. This actually, you know, let me go back to the scripture now where we started. Consider him. Think about him. Put your mind on Jesus. Consider him. Yeah, but, you know, the economy. No, don't consider the economy. Consider Jesus.
That's right.
Well, yeah, but, you know, this happened in my family. Stop considering all of the all that other stuff and get your mind, get your eyes and your ears on the Word and look for him in the Word. He is the Word. You look for him in the Word, and as you do, it begins to strengthen your spirit, and your mind then will not become weary and faint. And that is vitally, super important in the kind of time that we live in. Amen? Praise God.
Amen.
We'll be back in just a moment.
We hope you enjoyed this teaching from Kenneth Copeland Ministries. Download the notes at kcm.org/notes.